Hello, everyone. This is Amanda Dennis. Anna, are you there?
I am. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our live Q&A call. We are going to start with just a few announcements, and then Anna's going to do a little piece, and we're going to go out to all of you and see if there's any inspirational stories that anyone has to share with us. And then we'll go right into our live Q&A, which will be the bulk of our call. So the first thing that I wanted to just announce is that the questions from live callers, and then so either via the phone and or the participant dashboard, are going to be given priority over the ones that are emailed in. And this is just because we get so many questions that we just need to have some sort of order to it. So for those of you that actually make the live call, there's a very good chance that we'll be able to get to your questions and then also when you enter those into the participant dashboard. And then we'll do our best to get to as many of the emailed questions as we can and then also questions that are coming in on the community board. The second thing that I wanted to just real briefly talk about is that the June advanced training and the June and July culinary institutes are open for registration. And just to let you know, the June advanced training is going to be a tiny bit different this time and geared more towards those of you who are wanting to go into this arena as a practitioner. So there will be a lot of really practical tips and lessons and time spent on developing a practice and working with people one-on-one to help bring this work out to more and more people. So it will also be open to those of you who are not going to be becoming teachers or practitioners, but it will be geared a little bit more towards that. And then we have Doris, who just had her baby very recently, will be having her Culinary Institute 2 weekends this summer, one in June and one in July. And then the Rose Cleanse is going to be relaunching again within the next week or two, and that is going to be the same guided Rose Cleanse as the one that we did in January. We have all of the audios recorded. Living room will be open, so it will be that live aspect will still continue, and then these calls. And then we'll have the recorded audios and all of the weekly lessons. So the great thing about that is that you can select the time that the cleanse works for you. So if you have a lot of travel going on or anything that you want to work around, you can select a 30-day window to conduct your cleanse and do it at your convenience. And then also, PhD Detox is still available. For those of you who are interested in really expanding your studies of this work, Natalia did an amazing class with the Academy, and the class is called PhD Detox, and this is open and extremely affordable and, again, done at your own time. All the audios are recorded, so you can do it at your convenience. And that is all on my end for announcements. And then, Anna, if you want to go ahead and talk about, Anna wanted to talk about determining when our cravings are cravings that are yeast-based or whether or not they're actual hunger or passion for food. So this is a great topic, and I'm sure a lot of people have questions around this. So Anna, take it away.
Thank you, Amanda. So the reason I wanted to just briefly address this is that, you know, one of the wonderful things about where Natalia's program brings us is that we're trying to get closer and closer to intuitive eating. The difference between cravings versus hunger and how to start figuring out how to engage in intuitive eating, where you are in perfect harmony with your body and its needs and knowing what it wants when it wants it. Now, one of the amazing things is that the cleaner your body gets, the less it needs and the less it wants. And I'm sure some of you know out there that you could exist on, you know, green juice. I'm not recommending green juice forever. But, you know, those of you who've done the Rose Cleanse, I think were surprised to find that you were able to exist on green juice all day and just save your meal for the night, which is something that conventional wisdom would tell us that hunger would break through. So again, you know, hunger is a tricky issue. One of the questions that prompted this being addressed today was a client asking, does my craving for sweet potatoes at night mean that they're yeast feeding and that it's yeast asking for something?
So here's what to know about that. First, yes, yeast does act for things. If you have intestinal yeast and fungal growth, as we know, sugars and starches are what feed and nourish that yeast. So it wants to be fed and nourished. And that's the really difficult thing and part of the root of the matter, which is that if you have active yeast or fungal growth, it's very hard to know where you end and your yeast begins. So in a case like that, you'll want to design your day and your lifestyle around yeast eradication and not look for the intuitive eating side of it as much at the beginning. You'll want to use your rational mind instead of your gut feeling and letting your body lead you. Once you've done a significant amount of yeast eradication and the yeast-conscious approach to eating with bowel cleansing, that will stop to be an issue for you. Then you have the battleground of emotional eating. And I have to say that that has been one of the biggest gifts of this program for me, is that once the yeast and actual physical addiction side of food released me, I could address my issues with emotional eating in a much cleaner kind of playground or battlefield. And I could actually get to the root of the matter and see where that was happening and where it had just been yeast and sugar cravings. So I don't know if any of you out there are struggling with trying to find that dividing line, but my best suggestion to you is to give a good couple of solid months to a yeast-conscious approach to eating with bowel cleansing. And at the end of that time, you'll start to be able to be passionate about food instead of craving it, and to love your meals instead of being addicted to them. And so I would answer the person that wrote to me and asked that question, who I know to have been cleansing for over a year now, I think you just love your sweet potato dinners. And, you know, that's a really happy place to be. She loves what she's eating. She's excited about it, but she's not motivated or addicted by it, and she doesn't have much active yeast left to be feeding. So that's what I wanted to touch on with that, Amanda.
Fabulous. Okay, great. Thank you, Anna. And when you talk about emotional eating, what can you maybe just explain that a little bit too? I don't know if everyone would be totally clear on what you mean by that.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a different percentage in everybody of what percentage of your eating, especially overeating or eating things that you'd rather not eat, is motivated by a yeast-based craving, and what percentage is motivated by a really bad day or a really sad family situation or something else that, that causes you to ignore your wiser self and stuff your feelings a little bit, so to speak. So, you know, for me, I will say that it was probably about 25-75, 25% being a physical addiction that was very real. And once I was released from that, I could easily address, okay, well, here are situations that I'd rather not put myself in. Here are things that make me sad. Here are ways to cope with life situations other than eating. And that's what we hope to guide all of you towards, is getting in touch with where you'd rather listen to and obey your highest, wisest self's wishes rather than disregarding them and maybe even kind of flouting your wild child directly at them. So that's what I mean by emotional eating. Anytime that you're motivated by sadness or a life situation, or any time pretty much that you go against your wisest, highest self, is emotionally based eating.
Okay. Great, Anna. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, I know I said that we were going to do the live questions first, but the Maestro account, or, you know, our conference calling technology is not working that well right this second. So I think what we'll do is we'll start with some of the questions that we have, and we're working on getting that fixed, and then we will hopefully be able to address live questions as well.
Great.
One question that we have is, okay, I am currently taking the course Natalia offered on Entheos and love it. I'm about one-third of the way through now and was wondering if Natalia discusses the role probiotics and or fermented foods can, should, or should not play in a person's diet. I read on the community forum the recommendation to take a strong probiotic like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics after a colonic. Is this the only recommendation on the cleansing program, no fermented foods, etc.?
Ah, good question. So we did talk about this a little in a previous week because we are addressing raw goat kefir. So a good rule of thumb with fermented probiotics is that they should be young. They should not be older than 6 days. So freshly made sauerkraut, freshly made kimchi at your favorite Korean restaurant or homemade, freshly made raw goat kefir, or what else is there? Freshly made pickles, freshly made kombucha. All of those things are good when they're 6 days or younger. After that time, they mimic lactic acid in the body, and you'll really feel them in your joints. And while they may still have probiotic qualities, they're having a detrimental effect as well, so it's not worth it. So yes to fermented foods. Natalia recommends doing, for example, the kefir, 4 ounces, 4 days alone on an empty stomach. But the kimchi, you can apply the same rule, actually with all of these, a small amount, 4 days in a row, on an empty stomach, so maybe an hour before dinner, for them to really go in and cultivate in the gut. In terms of taking a probiotic, you know, the Dr. O'Hara's pearls we know and swear by. The Ascended Health products are wonderful as well, but that doesn't mean the door is closed on there being many other wonderful products on the market. I would say look for them in the refrigerated section because a live probiotic will need to be refrigerated. And look for ones that are do not contain wheat, do not contain soy, and do not contain any sugar, so that they're not yeast feeding in addition to being a probiotic. And then the last part of that is just that prebiotics are just as important. And that is prebiotics are what feed the existing healthy bacteria in the gut, so the existing flora. And prebiotics are found in a lot of different foods. Inulin is one of the best prebiotics, and that's found in, believe it or not, sunchoke, Jerusalem artichokes, as well as chicory root. So chicory root tea and Jerusalem artichokes, which, by the way, are my new absolute favorite thing, chopped up on a salad thinly like a radish at night. Those are wonderful prebiotics and will help the existing good bacteria to flourish.
Okay, great, Anna. Thank you. Okay, so we have a question about fats for women, and there's kind of a lot of parts to this question, but basically, well, I'll just give them to you one by one. Okay, so the first question is, why is it so difficult for women to process fats and oils?
Okay, well, you know, there's another part of that that I want to address as well, which is that a lot of women are told by conventional medicine, even alternative medicine, that they need specific fats and oils in order for the body to flourish. So I want to preface this by saying that, you know, don't look to oils as a health generator unless it's during pregnancy, which is a different story. But in general, a non-pregnant woman should not look to oils as a health generator. You don't need to be concerned with getting your fish oil or getting specific oils. Oils are, remember, a really, really condensed form of a food. So, for example, an olive is wrung out and condensed, and that's what you're getting when you get olive oil. So it's not meant to be consumed that way anyway. So oils are very dense, very clogging, and if we're looking to move things through the system quickly and easily, you don't want something dense or clogging or hard for the body to break down. So it's not just that it's specific to women. Men also have a hard time breaking it down. It's just that men tend to have stronger systems in general. And I know all of you have been frustrated when your male friends, if you're a woman, your male friends are able to get away with things like nuts and shredded green breads and something like that would keep you away from the bathroom for a week. But men just tend to have stronger systems when it comes to this stuff. So really, women are the delicate systems, and the heavier, more gluey things like oil should be avoided.
Okay. Now, should one even reduce the amount of oil applied topically to the skin?
And the skin is one of the biggest organs in the body, so a lot of oil is absorbed through the skin. I would say in that case, no. if you actually measured how much coconut butter it takes to cover your entire body, it's not very much. It's being absorbed very differently. So remember, it's not clogging the digestive system in the same way. And it makes the skin so happy that I would say absolutely not.
Okay. Okay. And let's see. Well, you basically answered this, but is there a connection between headaches, memory, brain, and the intake of lipids, fats, oils for a woman?
Yes, and so that's, I think, someone who's asking about it therapeutically or from
right.
a health-generating standpoint.
Definitely.
So, no, I would say there's a much closer connection between that and a clogged bowel.
Okay, okay. All right, now a question about someone with type 2 diabetes who is applying the lifestyle but experiencing lightheadedness and low blood sugar. Anything that we can address there?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I must preface this by saying that when it comes to disease and medical matters, you must always consult your physician. You definitely have to say that first. And then the second part of that is that even someone without diabetes could be experiencing those symptoms. There's a very real physical addiction to food. Our bodies get used to having certain things at a certain time, and especially when you're having withdrawal symptoms for something like, you know, regular sugar intake, you can feel a little wonky at first. There can also be a detoxification process that will be more symptomatic when it's not accompanied by regular bowel cleansing. So that's another thing to keep in mind. But with somebody who has unstable blood sugar to begin with, they might want to ease into this a little bit more slowly. If they've been having, you know, 5 meals a day, breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, and dinner, they might want to begin their cleansing process by just keeping those things light to heavy properly combined, but still keeping them at those times until maybe they get a little bit further along the path.
Okay. That's good. And then the low blood sugar readings, what would be your thought on that?
Same thing. As you know, as the body's going through that process, there's going to be an adjustment period.
Okay. Now, let me just say this. If you do have a question that you would like us to answer and you're in front of your computer, go ahead and email it to me for now. I'm still working on the Maestro site, but I can get emails. So email it to amanda.dennis@detoxtheworld.com. Again, that's amanda.dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, at detoxtheworld.com. So go ahead and email me your questions, and I will keep working on the website for those of you who are on the phone and not accessible or don't have access to a keypad or computer. Okay. Okay, we still have plenty of other types of questions, though, Anna. okay. When will the orange in palms and soles of feet go away? I know it's the liver cleansing the bile, and the frequency of colonics help, and why does this happen to some and not others? Does this mean my liver is more loaded with toxins?
I can't answer the question of why it happens to some and not others, because everybody's body, you know, the body we've talked about before has this amazing triage system, Natalia calls it, where it really, it helps, sends help where it's needed most first. So everybody's detox process is going to be a little bit different based on what's gone in and where it's holding. So that's the reason that some people experience it and others don't. I was definitely an orange hand and foot. My gentleman called me an Oompa Loompa. But it will go away. You're absolutely right that it's a process of the liver cleansing, and it depends how deeply you're cleansing, how much you're having regular bowel treatment, and I guess the level at which you're eating. So if you're going into this slow and steady, and hats off to you, because that's a wonderful way to do it, there's going to be a longer process. But I promise it will go away. You'll be left with a nice golden glow, but not the bright orange hands and feet.
Okay. Okay, great. And why does raw chocolate sit in the body like dead weight, as mentioned by Natalia in one of her older blog posts?
The reason is the oil question earlier. Raw chocolate is really, really high in oil, and it's probably like one of the first or second ingredients listed in a raw chocolate list. So it goes into the body like a brick, and it stays in there like a brick of oil.
Okay.
It's usually coconut butter based, and that's the reason.
Okay, great. What are your thoughts on peroxide use during a colonic treatment?
I'm not sure how to answer this. Again, always consult a physician if you have any questions about your body or your health. I will say that there are plenty of practitioners who do use food-grade only H2O2, hydrogen peroxide, to introduce oxygen into the colon during a treatment. Food-grade only. If you ever see somebody using it out of the brown bottle from the pharmacy, you should be very, very worried, because it's kept in solution by using a number of other additives that you absolutely do not want going into your colon. So a good colon hydrotherapist who employs the use of peroxide will use food-grade peroxide only, just a little bit. And what it does is introduces oxygen into the colon and also causes the colon to pulse. It causes the natural peristalsis to speed up a little bit. So you'll feel kind of an emotional reaction. And for some people, it helps to loosen things and move things along. It's also a wonderful way to liberate carbonic gas, which anybody who's tried it will tell you. It's definitely an experience. However, this is not something that I can recommend to you. It's something that if you wanted to explore it on your own, you could do, and you should definitely ask your colon hydrotherapist about it and about how they would employ it. I can tell you from personal experience, I have had a wonderful effect with it, but again, this is definitely a personal decision. I am not recommending it.
Okay, thanks, Anna. Okay, we're getting some questions coming in my email. It's great. Thanks, everybody, for being flexible with us. Let's see. Okay, so Natalia often talks about getting our energy from the sun during the day. Could you explain this a little more? I don't understand how this can be possible if our bodies were designed to need food.
I'm sorry, one more time. Need fruit was the last part?
Need food. I don't understand how this can be possible if our bodies were designed to need food.
Well, Natalia is not recommending that you go without food forever, but just that maybe eating during the day could be as light as a juice and only getting as heavy as maybe a piece of fruit or a salad with avocado as you're getting cleaner and cleaner and more into the lifestyle. But certainly, you know, during the day, when you're not devoting a huge amount of energy to the process of digestion because you're eating so light and so well combined and maybe even just having juice, you will find that you do draw your energy from the sun and from the fresh air and just from the body's natural resources. Part of her idea of getting the energy from the sun also has to do with the energy that you get from green juice and green plants in the form of chlorophyll, which literally is the sun's energy. But, you know, that's a question that will be answered as you move through the cleansing process and you begin to enjoy a longer period of time without intaking food that requires heavy digestion during the daylight hours. You'll start to see how that process will bring you such joy and so much energy and such euphoria that you'll understand that nice meal at night might be the way to go. However, if you're a new transitioner, take it slow and easy, and if you need food during the day, keep it there. Start by eating light to heavy and properly combining. And as you move along in the process, it might be right for you to step away from food during the day. It might not be right for you to step away from food during the day. But it is certainly verified fact, especially from my experience, that a lighter body during the day will have less energy to devote to digestion and more energy to devote to the day.
And I just have to actually share a personal experience around this too. And it's related but not totally, not exactly, but it is. So I was, I had the pleasure of doing a, basically like a meditation walk out in nature this last weekend. And it was with a woman who has studied a lot of different spiritual practices around the world. And, this is one that she does every single day. And basically it's walking the perimeter of this beautiful, beautiful property that she lives on the ocean. And what it is essentially walking very slowly and exchanging energy with everything that you're seeing in nature. So it's, you know, breathing in and breathing out and consciously exchanging energy with the trees and the grass and everything around you, the sun and everything. And basically this type of practice can be used to boost energy as well throughout the day. And she is able to be sustained on 4 to 6 hours of sleep because of this type of energy exchange. And instead of always giving energy out or, you know, kind of being leached or sucked of energy, you are able to actually consciously relate with nature to bring in energy, which then, again, it makes us more creative and able to go throughout our day. And then in some cases, and I will definitely report back to you all if this is my experience, requiring less sleep. With a six-month-old and a three-year-old, that is a very, very attractive carrot held in front of me. So I'll definitely report back. But it's kind of the same idea that, you know, we're not always getting energy from our food the way that we have been conditioned or programmed to believe. There's an exchange of energy that we could be getting with all of our surroundings on a much more consistent basis. Okay, Anna. Let's see.
Just to add one more thing about that, which is the energy from alkaline air is so superior. And I can tell you, Natalia loves to walk and ride her bike in Central Park. I'm sure she's shared often. And I think I've even shared this before, that I often get calls from her with just bursting with amazing ideas as she's out in that air under the trees. And I've certainly felt a similar sensation.
Yeah,
sea air and ocean air are definitely different.
Yeah, top notch. Okay. Okay, so hi, everyone. I am new to this community and have read all of Natalia's books and love them. Detox for Women really makes sense to me. However, I have a question regarding just juicing for breakfast. Has anyone noticed that this has slowed down their metabolism? I have always had a really high metabolism and have never struggled with weight and usually wake up very hungry in the morning and juice just doesn't put a dent in it. I have heard your body will get used to not eating in the mornings, but is this necessarily a good thing in regards to keeping your metabolism going?
That's a good question. A lot of people ask that. So the idea of breakfast being the most important meal of the day and you have to have it to get things started and light your fire. yes, your body will get used to it eventually. No, it should not lead to weight loss or to weight gain, quite the contrary. And, you know, the metabolism is a myth. And this whole idea of women growing older and their metabolism slowing down, and that's why people in middle age tend to have a harder time keeping weight off, has to do with accumulation. And I think that's what's so wonderful about this lifestyle and this way of eating, is that you don't have to worry about that, because if the body is free of obstruction and free of accumulation, then that will never be an issue in that way. So absolutely, if you need to keep breakfast right now and it's somehow psychologically or emotionally making you fearful, you should keep a nice light breakfast, or, you know, have two juices, or maybe have a juice and then wait and then have a mid-morning snack of a piece of low sugar fruit. But in general, no, skipping breakfast is not going to do anything like slow your metabolism. It will certainly not lead to any kind of shedding down of the body or weight gain. And also, you know, the body is a creature of habit, and we've been feeding it breakfast for so long that it's hard to step away from that. And again, easing and transitioning into it if you're not ready, but it's definitely partly because of the conditioning that we've given it.
Okay. Thank you, Anna. Let's see. Okay, lots of questions coming in. Okay, we have been doing juice until dinner, Rose Cleanse style, for this month. We are doing colonics twice weekly. My husband has red bumps on his ears and neck. Is this yeast die-off? What is the best way to help him move through this? Anything in addition to dry brushing?
The dry brushing is great. Trampolining would be great too, rebounding. Any kind of lymphatic massage might help him to release it as well. I would guess yes, it's a little bit of a detox symptom. and I would probably, if it were me, or if he was my client, I would probably look at his day and maybe slow the cleansing process down a little tiny bit. So just take one gentle step back if this is very concerning to them. If not, you know, push on through. You're obviously going in the right direction. With the regular bowel cleansing, you are removing the die-off and you are removing any kind of obstruction that would cause deeper symptoms. So you're going in the right direction. So I would say he could either step up the bowel cleansing or just ease back a little tiny bit on the detoxing. Maybe if he's having a raw avocado salad for lunch, he could add a little bit of baked sweet potato with that. Or maybe if he's juicing until dinner, he could add a little bit of a light lunch. Just jack off the detoxing just a tiny little bit and slow things down so it's not quite so aggravating. But it sounds like it's not a huge deal. So if I were him, I might persevere.
Yeah, work through it, huh? It's a good opportunity to do it if they are doing the rose cleanse for the month. So, yeah, okay. Let's see. How long should we body brush? What is the best description for how to do this properly, and how long should we work up to? When is the best time of day? What's a good
best
protocol? So like body brush, rebound shower, you know, what's kind of a good schedule with that?
Yeah. You know, my favorite time of day to do it is first thing in the morning. It really gets the blood flowing, gets the chi flowing, gets everything moving, the lymphatic system. And it's great. It's a great way to wake up and to greet the day. So I would definitely recommend first thing in the morning, unless that is schedule prohibitive to you. And then you must always honor your own lifestyle and fit this in the right way. So I would say first thing in the morning, and my preference would be to do dry brush, rebound, shower, because you're going to get a little sweaty on that rebounder. You know, some of that stuff is going to be releasing through the skin, and it would be nice to get into the shower afterwards. So that would be a really beautiful way to start the morning and a really good way to get things moving in the body so that you have a different outlook on the whole day. In terms of the dry brushing protocol, what Natalia recommends is starting with the feet, even the bottoms of the feet, and with small brisk strokes working upwards along the legs, concentrating on the lymphatic area on the backs of the knees, working upwards towards the pelvis. If there's a little bit of cellulite holding in the back of the legs or the buttocks, concentrating there a little bit. And then also working in from the palms of the hands, also working in towards the heart center. So small, brisk strokes going in from, you know, the hands to the arms, and then also concentrating in the lymphatic area under the armpit. Don't do dry brushing on breast tissue if you're a woman. It's very tender and delicate. I mean, unless you've tried it and you know it's okay, I would steer clear of that. And then on the abdomen, very, very light if you're going to do it because, again, it's tender skin. But I like to do dry brushing in the direction of digestion. So a clockwise dry brush on the abdomen is wonderful.
Okay.
And I should add, I do know people who do dry brushing on their face. It's not my preference, and again, that skin is very delicate, so I would probably not recommend that.
Okay. Okay. And then why does dry brushing have to be dry? And is there a benefit to doing it dry?
It doesn't have to be dry. Yeah, it doesn't have to be dry. It's just a very different feeling. And, you know, when you get up and you start your day with dry brushing, you'll know what that feeling is. The blood rushes to the surface of the skin. Everything gets moving. Scrubbing off in the shower is also wonderful, but it doesn't have the same stimulating effect as the dry brush does.
Okay, great. We're actually going to be able to open up the lines here soon, but I wanted to get another one of the email questions that came in answered. I am sure I am very yeasted as I am craving dark chocolate in the morning. Any tips for getting off the chocolate?
You know, one thing is that if you don't want to eat the chocolate and you're eating it anyway, you're going directly in the face of your wiser self, your wise woman or your wise man. And that's a good place to start, which is that you must honor that person. That's the person that you always look to for answers. So the issue is not as much the dark chocolate and being hooked on that as disregarding your own wishes for yourself and your own highest good. So I would say that would be my first tip, is to promise I will honor you all day. and see where that leads you. Another part of that can also be that there's still a little bit of toxic accumulation or something being released from the nightly meal, which is the most dense meal of the evening, so maybe something hanging around a little bit. And I would definitely tell that person that as they start to release this stuff, as there starts to be less accumulation and they get less bogged down by an evening meal and that dark chocolate, it won't be kicking up again and stirring up addiction and urges in the morning. So persevere. But also, you know, you never want to go against that person. So really listening and making a promise to yourself.
Okay. Thank you, Anna. All right, good. Joanna, if you can, well, actually, anybody who has a question that is on the phone and wants to ask a question live, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad now. And Joanna is going to call on you, and we'll do as many as we can.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, great. Why don't we go with Wendy first? Wendy, are you there? Wendy, can you hear us?
You just make sure you unmute her phone, Joanna.
Yeah, I think I just did, but
okay.
Wendy, are you there? Let's move on to someone else. Jennifer.
Yes.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi,
Jennifer.
Go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good.
I actually have a comment. I'm hoping it's a little inspiration to other people, if that's okay.
That's fabulous. we actually didn't get to do that in the beginning when we normally would, just because of the technological difficulties. So this is great to have interjected. Thank you.
Great. And I actually Anna and I worked together, and she really encouraged me throughout this whole process and to comment on this. So now I'm going to, Anna. during this whole process of cleansing, I faced a lot of criticism from other people. And although it was because they cared, it was very hard and it was very hurtful. And, I just have to say that through all of that, I just kept going back to the community and everything that I learned from Natalia's books. And I really learned that I needed to trust myself and trust my instincts and all of the knowledge that I had about the detox process that others didn't have. And just to remind people that if ever they're in doubt, that the community is always there for them, and to trust themselves. I would get stuck sometimes and think, oh my God, what am I doing, and doubt myself, and then realize going back to the old way of eating a standard diet or drinking shakes with tons of sugar was totally not the way to go, and of course, real food was the answer. So just be patient with the whole process.
Thank you so
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, too, as you were talking, it was just, I was reminded of how, I mean, once you're doing this for a certain amount of time, it becomes like second. It becomes so second nature that it's hard to remember that there's people that don't do this. And I think, you know, it still is for so many people. It's still this kind of radical concept. But I think overall, there's a shift happening. And I think that to a certain extent, we've been sort of the forerunners of the shift. And it's people like us that needed to step out on a limb and do something that seemed really scary to other people, although we knew the whole time that it wasn't scary because it completely resonated with us at such a deep level. So I think, you know, it's basically, I want to give kudos to everyone that has taken that leap, because it's really because of people like you that others are now able to follow in your footsteps and do so without a lot of the fear that a lot of us had to really endure. So thank you so much for sharing, and for everyone else that has been in that position. Know also that eventually the people around you start to come around. And that's the really interesting thing when that all starts happening is they start jumping on the bandwagon, and maybe not everybody, but a lot of them will. And it's just, that's, it gets really fun when you start seeing that happen as well.
Yeah, I now have a lot of people that I was working with that just by watching me like eat a healthy lunch, now eat salads at lunch, will now follow recipes off of my food blog and have started to go along. Not the way we eat with the juicing and everything, but still healthier is at least better than nothing at all, I guess. So
exactly. Well, and this has been my experience, is that in the beginning, I felt very vocal about what I was doing. And I noticed that actually wasn't the best approach, that sometimes I would turn people off that way, even though I didn't mean to. It was all with really good intentions. But what I noticed is that when I stopped talking about it as much, unless people asked me and were sincerely interested, and really just focused on doing the work myself, that's when people started saying, oh, you know, what are you doing? And why do you do it this way? And, you know, can you tell me more? Or, you know, what book should I read? Or, you know, whatever it was. I think when we aren't leaning, you know, any sort of agenda on anyone and really just focusing on doing it for ourselves, that's when we become like this magnet that people are really attracted to knowing what we're doing.
And the other thing is, you know, don't forget that changing your lifestyle can have such a dramatic effect on your health that you could be helping someone on a deeper level than they know just by example.
Yes.
I mean, not to be dramatic, but some people's lives could be changed by, or saved by, you know, a change in diet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we all know that too, that this work definitely begins with a change in diet and then normally ends up in a change in perspective and a change in how we want to live our lives overall, and brings more, a desire for more harmony and peace in the rest of our lives too. So what you're saying is very true, that even, you know, just opening that doorway to a cleaner diet and a more connected diet can open up many, 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 many additional doorways. So Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
And I want to open it up too to anyone else who has anything like that they want to share. We didn't take the normal opportunity in the beginning to do that. So if you have any stories or books or anything that you want to recommend to the group that you feel will be inspiring, please, please do share. Hey, Joanna, maybe we can go back to the phones.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to unmute Rosa right now. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Rosa.
Hi, Rosa.
Oh, it's funny. I'm parked on PCH with both babies asleep, and there's a man on a bike with the biggest heart you've ever seen. So cute. But my question was, I have been talking to somebody who is a fruitarian, and I was wondering, if you don't have yeast problems and you feel like you've conquered those after, you know, a couple of years of being on the program, is it viable to eat fruit all day long as much as you want, or is it part of the Rose program, is what I wanted to say, basically incorporate more fruit into the diet, including the green juices and, you know, a small amount of cooked stuff, but a lot more fruit, being tropical, not just the low sugar one.
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of people ask me at the beginning, well, when will I get to have the sweet fruits again? You can absolutely have, you know, and Natalia has spoken about eating mono meals of just fruit. You can certainly incorporate that into your lifestyle once you've really rid the body of systemic yeast. It's a tricky thing, though, because the environment that we live in is so conducive to yeast growth that it can creep back up on you. Also, the fruit that we eat is, you know, can be rife with mold even when we don't know it. It can be picked unripe and ripened in the back of a truck. It can be, you know, covered with pesticides, even the quote-unquote organic pesticides like copper sulfites are, I know, an organic pesticide. So, you know, absolutely you can start to incorporate fruit especially the sweeter fruits, into your lifestyle once you're not dealing with a yeast issue anymore. But you'll want to back off and, you know, just really keep an eye on how you're using them. So I would say there are not many people and many lifestyles that I know that could do fruit all the time. I think you would run into a big old yeast frenzy eventually with a situation like that. But as long as you're being very mindful and noticing if it's causing bloating, noticing if you're having really wonderful bowel movements, noticing if you're still feeling at the top of the mountain.
Wait, Anna?
A lot more fruit.
Yeah? Anna, actually, Rosa, do you mind just muting your phone? Or Joanna, you can actually mute it while we're in between. Okay, thanks. Sorry.
No, that's great. So the bottom line is absolutely yes. Once you've really successfully rid the body of yeast, if you're being mindful, you can start incorporating fruit a lot more, and you can have wonderful fruit-based meals. And you can do them often as long as you're really being conscious of, am I still having wonderful movements on my own? Is my skin clear? Do I feel wonderful? Is my body in the place I want it to be? And really noticing if that changes.
Okay, maybe Joanna, if you can just unmute Rosa one more time just to see if she has anything to add to that or any additional questions.
No, that's great. Thank you. I'm just wondering if you recommend more, the more fruit you incorporate, if do you require more colonics?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, fruit is one of the most cleansing things. I'm glad you mentioned that. I neglected to add that in. Absolutely. Fruit is so cleansing, and it's so fast-moving, so water-containing, that you will probably want to do additional bowel cleansing. I would certainly say in my own experience and experience with clients that you would want to do that. That would be another way that you could re-yeast yourself, is having a whole bunch of sugary fruit sitting in the system.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Rosa.
Thanks.
Joanna, do we have any more on the phone?
Yes, we do. Did that hand just go down? I think I just lost it. Yeah, that looks like it for right now.
Okay. So again, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad if you have a question that you'd like to ask. If not, we can go to some more of the ones that got emailed in. Okay, what is the mark of a healthy colon? When do we know we are in good shape? Is a movement after everything we ingest the ultimate goal, or is it more personal than that?
I would say a good movement every morning would be the ultimate goal. You know, especially if you're having only one meal a day, that would be very successful. More than that, you're in a whole other territory. I do know people that have a movement after, you know, an hour after they eat. But if you're having a giant movement every morning, you're in great shape.
You know, it's so interesting because my 3-year-old daughter, Madeline, is basically after every meal, I'm just amazed. It's like, wow, so this is how we were designed. I mean, I can just see it working in her, and it's amazing. So,
kids have it going on.
Yeah, but she obviously is eating more than one meal a day, and she's eating more than that. So if we are doing our one or two meals, then you're saying the ultimate goal would be one, would you say massive one in the morning?
Yes, I would say massive, yes. and you know it when you feel it. It feels like a bowel cleansing, like a proper bowel cleansing. You feel light and joyful afterwards.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm just reading a question and wanting to get to the... Okay. All right, so I'm just going to read it. Okay. I love this forum. I've been following Natalia's nutrition philosophy, and I've had meals delivered by Doris off and on since 2009. I fall off and on the wagon very often, mostly due to financial constraints and other life instabilities. The first time I was on the program, I did not do any colonics or go to the steam room, and my skin broke out very badly. I looked like a shedding snake, but I understood why it happened and made adjustments, which worked. I seem to detox very quickly. I don't know if I'm saying that correct, and I'm afraid to juice every day and or eat at a level 2, which I am for the most part, because I can't afford colonics or steam baths or juice every day for that matter. Do you have any recommendations for me on how I can continue to follow Natalia's nutrition philosophy without the need for colonics and steam rooms?
Yeah, absolutely. Remember that bowel cleansing should accompany the level of detoxification. So if you're detoxing very quickly and you're really moving things out quickly, you need to accompany it with more bowel cleansing. So if you're doing a gentler approach with more cooked food, maybe more meals per day, you can absolutely slow things down and do less bowel cleansing. I would hope that she could find it, once in a while. It will definitely ease her transition, and I would say she won't be able to hit the same highs without it. But the other thing is not to overlook a home enema system, because you can have really, really wonderful and deep enemas, and the process of figuring out how to have those can be also an amazing experience when you're getting to know your body and how your body functions. So I think her best move is to head to her nearest drugstore or go online. I know Amazon has them. I know we have a link on the website as well. But Cara is one, C-A-R-A, is one company that has a wonderful enema bag, and I think that would be her best move right now. And then the only other thing I want to say is that financial constraint is often a problem, not just because of being able to have access to fresh organic foods, but also because there's a mindset of scarcity that comes with financial constraint. And I would urge her to make sure she separates the two out, because I found that there can be a lot of emotionally based eating that accompanies financial fear, because the body starts feeling the mindset of that lack and trying to accommodate for it. So I definitely urge her to separate out what amount of this is real financial lack and doing the best she can with her resources, and what part of this is also that fear-based scarcity mentality, which absolutely influences eating. So I hope she's able to really work to get in touch with that, and I hope she's able to start giving herself some literally kick butt enemas at home.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, and I think that that fear-based scarcity mindset is so, so prevalent right now that probably most people can feel it creeping in from time to time, especially if you watch the news or pay attention to any mainstream media. It's so prevalent that it's kind of difficult and requires a lot of emotional solidity to actually not fall prey to. So I'd say that just for everyone to do their best to guard what's going into their psyche in terms of limitation and lack around resources.
Absolutely. That's another thing that I wanted to add to the person who asked about breakfast and, people who find that they're eating more later on. Maybe they're not ready to let go of one of their meals yet because it's creating a scarcity or lack mentality. And that's something that meditation and getting in touch with their wise self will bring them through with no problem.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention, you'll notice Anna and I will address questions on a physical level. But I think one thing, especially for those of you new on this path, to recognize is that the physical aspect of this journey is just a portion of it. And there is so much work that we all have to do on an emotional level and really from the standpoint of programming and conditioning that we all have on individual levels and on a collective level, that you'll quickly find that, people that just approach this work from a physical standpoint will reach a certain point where they have to face the emotional side of this, and vice versa. If you only work on your emotional and spiritual self and you neglect the physical, that will also come full force in front of you as well. So I think that you'll notice that we will want to address questions from multiple levels, because because we have to, and there is no addressing it from just one perspective. So I just wanted to mention that, just in case some of you were wondering how come, you know. And sometimes I remember when I was new in this, were very physical ailments that I wanted to address. So when people would start talking to me about the emotional side of things, I didn't think I really had anything emotional to work on. So I would just sort of discard it. And obviously I just wasn't ready to go and work on those things yet, which is fine too. But just keep your ear open and keep your heart open, and as many of the things that you can address on multiple levels, do your best to start incorporating them, because the changes will be that much more dramatic and that much more significant in your life and in the lives of those around you. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that, Anna.
No, very true, and it's so funny that you said that you weren't able to address it at first. I remember hearing people talk about how meditation had helped their eating and thinking, what are you talking about? I just need someone to give me a great diet.
Yes, just tell me what to do.
Yes, and now that's an integral part of every day. So you know, different timing.
Yeah, and it's all good. It's all, wherever you're at on the path, it's all very good. So thank you, everyone, for joining, and thank you for bearing with us on the technology side. I think that we were able to get through all of that fine, and hopefully we got as many of your questions answered as possible. For those that were not answered, I log them, and we will keep those in our bank of questions, and we'll do our best to address them and or hold on to them, and we will answer them next time. So thank you, everyone, for joining. It was a pleasure to share this hour with you, and we will have the audio. Oh, the recording section of the website is now up. So if you go to the Q&A section of the community, you can click on Q&A, and you'll see the answers, the Q&A written answers from Anna and Joanna. And then you'll also now see a link for the archive of all of our calls. And then as soon as the Rose Cleanse launches again, you'll be able to get those in the living room as well. So
thank you,
everyone. Yeah, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day or evening.
And good night if you're on the East Coast.
Yes, good night. Sweet dreams. Aloha, everyone.